This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. I'm in the studio now with the man normally with the news, Mr. Ari Cruz.
Hello, Richard.
And over there on the phone lines is Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, chaps, and hello, listeners. Thank you for, you know, listening to us because we are the number one car radio show in
Malaysia. In the Klang Valley.
Yes.
In TTDI.
Yes.
On Jalan Burhanuddin Helmi.
If you say so.
Okay, as usual, we've got news updates and some car launches. And then part number two, this should get interesting. So you've hypothetically got 100,000 ringgit to buy a car. What would you buy? That's what we're going to be asking a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Okay. Arif, who's kicking up the news first? Who's doing this? Because I know there's some interesting stuff this week.
Daniel should kick this
Thank you.
One up first.
Wow, we're giving him permission to go first.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. Okay, this is something very personal to me. Every year, I have a Vehicle of the Year Awards event.
Okay.
Now, some people have asked me, why don't I call it Car of the Year? Because if you think about it, it's no longer Car of the Year. It's MPV, pickup truck, car, sports car, sedan, right. Crossover, right. Small MPV, large MPV, you know, things like that.
Mm.
So there's so many various segments. And, you know, the term car does not blend well anymore, I think. So the best is Vehicle of the Year. So we have a Vehicle of the Year. We have many segments. Like I just mentioned, there's so many types of vehicles. And we give out these awards. And because our awards were supposed to be held in March of this year, 4 days before lockdown, we were forced to postpone everything because of the lockdown. And now after the lockdown, we have sat with our title sponsor, who has been with us for more than 10 years, Allianz General Insurance. And we said, how do you want to do it? And they suggested, let's do a FB Live Awards event. Let's be the only one in Asia, just like, you know, Cruise Control, the only one in Asia. And so, tomorrow in the morning at 11 a.m., we will be on FB Live presenting 17 awards to 17 segment winners in Malaysia. And we're going to announce the winners one by one. We're not going to invite the car companies to come on board. There's no reason to. They can just watch it on FB Live. And after that, we will deliver the trophies to them one by one.
So that's at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yes. And anybody can watch. You can watch. Your neighbor can watch. You know, you just come in at 11 a.m. and you can watch the whole thing, which will last about 30 minutes.
17 awards in 30 minutes.
17 awards in 30 minutes. We don't want to waste anybody's time. We're just going to bang, 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 just give out the 17 awards. And please remember, these are cars that were tested last year, right up to February this year, not cars that have been launched in the last few months.
What's the Facebook page, in case people don't know already?
DSF.my.
There you go.
Please look forward to that tomorrow. I'm kind of curious what Daniel's going to pick, but...
Are you really?
I mean...
There's going to be some kind of Italian thing in there.
Yeah,
he's going to do that Italian voice. We all know what he's going to be doing. Come on.
What happens on FB Live does not happen on Cruise Control.
Oh, I see. But more current stuff. One of the news this week was that Genting might be closing its road to car and bike convoys. And we've seen... we always see huge car convoys going up and racing up and down. And it seems to be very, very dangerous. Mm. Genting has the right to do this because, after all, it is called Genting. It is private land.
Yep.
So they have every right to do so. And one thing I've noticed going up and down Genting sometimes for leisurely purposes is that, you know, on the way down, they have a lot of bumps. And somehow, a lot of people seem to still fly through them at a million kilometers an hour. It's just... Especially on a mountain, I know Malaysians love their tauge sessions and all that stuff, but on Genting, where it's busy almost all the time, it's kind of reckless, isn't it?
Some months ago, I actually did an article on this. It's on DSF.my. I said, you know, something should be done about all this, whether they're professional or not. This is endangerment to the public. Because why? You have normal people driving on that road. You've got some elderly people. And then you've got these people whizzing by. And, you know, a lot of these people who are whizzing by are watching other people doing it and thinking, if they can do it, I can do it, you know?
Right.
And then you also get some people in my line of work who do it as a fun thing. And then they put it on YouTube. And they show, you know, what the car can do. And, you know, they're doing it with cars that come from car companies, which means the tires are brand new, the suspension is brand new, the brakes are beautiful, everything is ready to go. Now, after a couple of runs like this, all that is worn out, you know?
Mm.
Now, if you're going to use it with your car, They are watching these people do it with a brand new car from a car company which is well maintained. Your own car, your tire might be 25% off. Your balancing might not be perfect. Your brakes might be a little bit worn. Your suspension is a bit worn. It just takes one wrong move and you're in the ditch. And every day, someone is going in the ditch up and down Genting Highland.
This also kind of brings up a good conversation piece because there are a lot of really, really nice roads around Malaysia. A lot of them is just generally undiscovered. Maybe if you want to drive spiritedly, you know, go out into the jungle where there are literally no other cars on the road, because Genting shouldn't be one of the places that we do that, because lorries are coming up and down. There are families stuffed into MPVs going up and down. It's extremely dangerous to do that.
And on the weekends, there are a lot of motorcyclists who go up and down just for the sake of going up and down.
Yeah.
You just clip them even a tiny bit. That guy could end up in the ditch, you know, and nobody's thinking about it. You know, you might even clip someone and carry on driving. You don't know that you've actually clipped someone.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we should stop talking about that and talk a bit more about what the government's been doing in terms of roadworks. The new works minister, Mr. Fadila Yusof, says that more money is to be allocated from road tax collection. And if you're wondering how much road tax is collected in 2019, it's approximately 2.9 billion ringgit.
Wow.
It's quite a lot of money, isn't it? Especially just for road taxes. But this isn't a new idea. This follows calls from back when Pakatan Harapan was governed and the works minister was Barubian, who said that the cost of maintaining these roads is actually 2 billion ringgit. And the allocation they were given last year was only 800 million ringgit. So this is a very, very positive thing. But I've always been wondering, like, aren't our road taxes supposed to be maintaining our roads in the first place?
That's what you think they're for, right?
Yeah.
Huh. So where are they going then, Daniel?
I don't know, but I think, you know, it's not for me to say, but...
No, I keep asking you these questions because I know you know the answers.
But I can't say it because, you know, you have a radio license to think about.
All right, final piece of news, which has to do with the manual gearbox. This piece is very, very interesting. We love manual gearbox, but we don't want to drive them because we live in the city. So... a lot of car manufacturers seem to be removing it from their entire lineup, but Hyundai.
Yeah, they're a new company, right? Just out of Korea.
Just came into the market.
This brand new company that's just came into the market decided to build a two-pedal manual gearbox. So the car they're building won't have a clutch pedal. So I guess when you're driving around, you just shift in an H pattern, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you go back down.
Like those video games.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what's the point of it.
Because people are lazy nowadays.
The way I can rationalize this intelligent manual gearbox, they are calling it, is probably because it's a different option to a CVT gearbox. And CVT gearboxes, everybody hates them except for the people that make them. So the manual gearbox, I guess, would save you the same amount of fuel as a CVT gearbox. But then again, today's modern automatic gearboxes are just as good as old manual gearboxes. They are faster. They are more economical. If you wanted convenience, just go buy an automatic. Why would you buy a manual gearbox? That's the big question.
Well, you know, I think for a manufacturer like Hyundai, they're, you know, top five in the world. They want to gain more traction in the global market. Of course, in Malaysia, they're not doing as well as they should be. But in some countries around the world, they're doing very well. So they have to stay ahead in terms of innovation. And you have to spend money in R&D and everything else just to tell the market, hey, I've got this new product and it's going to change the whole way you drive your car, and come and try it out for yourself. So it's just innovation that keeps evolving all the time. It's just like Ferrari taking out the gearboxes from their cars and putting little buttons, and that's really irritating.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it is when you've got your Ferraris parked in the garage.
Yes.
Yeah, it must be.
Damn, I hate it. Pressing the buttons.
Pressing those buttons.
This new technology apparently isn't as new, because those early to mid-thousand Lamborghinis, they kind of had this sort of similar thing. So it was a mechanical manual gearbox, but there were only two pedals and the clutch was controlled electronically. And you would change up and down, obviously, with the pedal shifters. But I guess in this one, instead of having pedal shifters, you roll through the gears. Mm.
So the second you move it, the gear stick, it engages the clutch and the... Okay.
Interesting, right?
It can't be that... Well, I'm not going to say it can't be that difficult to, you know... It's clearly difficult to engineer. Otherwise, we'd have them by now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it sounds kind of nice. You know? Don't you
yeah,
think?
Yeah. But to me, the fun factor about driving a manual car is like when you approach a hill and you think, oh my God, I've got to put on my handbrake, put it in neutral, and then I got to balance the clutch. That's kind of the fun about driving it for me.
Okay.
I don't know about Daniel. What do you think?
Well, you know, we've grown up with manual cars. We started driving with manual cars. So for us, it's completely different. But for the new generation, I'm not talking even about URL. I'm talking about, you know, my kids. They will all come from the PlayStation era. They'll all come from the gaming era. So they're not interested in a manual gearbox or a semi-automatic gearbox or even a gearbox with buttons on it. They'll probably say, why can't I have a voice-activated gearbox? Or why can't I have a car that just goes in and says, drive, and it'll drive, and that's it. They're not interested in the whole sequence of mechanically doing everything with your hands and your legs.
That's fair enough.
Interesting stuff. Okay. We better move along, though. We've got some car launches, of course. Local car launches up first. The Proton Saga Black Edition, 35th anniversary model.
Can you believe the Saga is already 35 years old?
My word. I remember seeing the first editions in an airport in London. I am now showing my age. Oh, my word.
Wow. Sorry, Richard.
It's fine. No. Wow.
But Proton are launching this 35th anniversary model on July 9th, which is tomorrow, also on Facebook. So I guess...
Oh, Daniel got some competition there.
Yeah.
They want to compete with me. They want to see who's going to get more audience.
But this Proton Saga Black Edition 35th anniversary model apparently will come with gloss black paint job, yellow accents on the grills, and mirror caps. And that's about it.
You didn't sound too enthused exactly about the whole thing.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to move on to the Pro Duo Mavi, and I'm going to explain why I'm not excited about it at
okay.
all.
I mean, to be fair, I'm just looking at pictures of it, and I kind of have to agree with everything.
Right. So the Pro Duo Mavi, it was just launched again in Brunei, but it's now got a very, very sporty body kit. Uh-huh. And as written by Daniel on his website, lots of Malaysians are kind of sad that we don't get a sporty Mavi.
Right.
But that Mavi is just a body kit special. There's nothing else in there that's changed. And this is my problem with these two cars and any special edition of these cheap cars, well, cheap-ish cars. It's the fact that, you know, car manufacturers keep thinking that they can just lump on alloy wheels, body kits and everything and call that a special edition that everybody should go and buy. I mean, just a couple of years ago, we saw Nissan Almera Nismo edition. And you think, Nismo, wow, Nismo, Nissan GTR. You don't get that. You just get a regular Almera with some badly fitting, well, not badly fitting body kits, but you get some body kits on there with wheels that don't match its look. So it kind of ruins it. I might as well just go buy a 1.6 Saga.
Wait a minute. But last week we were talking about the BRZ, for example, right? Which, as we know, the base model is just a basic, very basic car. You slap a few bunches, a body kit on it, and you too last week were like, this car's awesome.
Yeah,
it does this. How is it any different apart from these are locally produced vehicles?
The BRZ is rear wheel drive.
Okay, yes.
It's a manual gearbox.
Okay.
It's got a 2-liter boxer engine that's derived from Subaru's World Rally winning championship cars.
Okay, point taken. Okay, all right.
The Saga...
But you see my point, though, right?
Yeah, okay, I do. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a bad idea. I just think for a 35th anniversary model...
They could have done a bit more.
Yeah.
Instead of just colouring the...
mirrors
yellow.
I think what Ari was trying to say is for 35 years of producing a car... Isn't it about time you launched a brand new car on the 35th year?
Maybe they're going to do it on the 40th year.
Probably.
maybe, you know.
It's
on the way.
Are you a Malaysian taxpayer, Richard?
I pay my taxes, yes.
Then maybe your tax money will go to a new car next year in 25 years.
We have one final car which just launched globally. It's the new Mazda 3. 2.5 turbo.
This is exciting.
Yeah, we've seen the 1.5 and the 2-liter, and I believe, Daniel, you really liked the 2-liter and thought the 1.5 was maybe a little bit underpowered. But now we've got the 227 horsepower engine coming from the TX5 2.5 turbo. It seems like a car that's on the medium level on the Peri Peri Nando's menu.
It looks tasty, though.
It looks tasty, yeah. Looking forward to driving this if they bring it here, but, you know, 2.5 in a compact car in Malaysia, not sure if there will be many takers.
I think you'll sell quite well because, first of all, it's a good-looking car. Secondly, you've got Mazda branding that has made, you know, the brand very desirable. Number three, it's definitely going to be cheaper than the Europeans, yet have more spec, more power, more everything than the Europeans, just like what Mazda has been doing in the last couple of models. So I think it'll actually do quite well.
I can't wait to drive one, to be honest.
Exactly.
All right, on that note, let's wrap up. We're going to be back in a few moments, of course. We've got part two where we've got, 100,000 ringgit to spend on a car.
Yeah.
What would you spend it on? You're going to have to find out when you come back after this break. You're, of course, tuned in to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arif Roos.
Over there on the phone is
Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my.
Clearly not on the phone, but we've got two tin cans and a piece of string tied together, and that's why there was a delay. But anyway, if you're only just joining us, we've had a bit of news at the beginning of the show. We were speaking about Daniel's Car of the Year Awards happening tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. on Facebook. The Facebook address is
dsf.my.
Then we spoke a little bit about Gunting might be closing their roads to car and bike convoys. Roadworks, manual gearboxes are dying, some car launches. Now, so you've hypothetically got 100,000 ringgit to go out and buy a car. Not necessarily a car that's going to be there in a few years' time. Not necessarily a car that might be there, in fact, a month after you bought it because you can't afford to keep it running. But you've still got 100,000 ringgit to spend nonetheless.
Let's just live a little. Dream a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who wants to go first? Daniel, Arif, who's first?
Let Arif go first.
I think... Wow.
Balls in your court
right
now, then.
So 100,000 ringgit. Daniel wanted this premise to be kind of like, as Richard said, these cars might not even exist after you've actually bought them. So there's a lot of cars, basically, for 100,000 ringgit. And these used cars tend to be cars that, you know, we dreamed of 10, 15 years ago when we saw in the magazines. But they usually would cost about 405,000 ringgit. Mm. Now, though, a lot of them are coming into the market for about 100,000 ringgit, which is equivalent to a price of a Proton X70.
You've stole my car. That's what I was going to use.
That was the whole idea.
Or a brand new Honda Civic, which is about 115. Mm. So they're roughly 10 years old now. They'll need a little bit of TLC, and you've got to learn to take care of it. And what I've chosen as one of my four cars is...
Oh, you got four. I didn't realize you got four.
We got four because we went through some categories.
Ah, okay, okay.
So the first one is kind of a family car, but it's cool. And it's the 2011 Audi S4 Avant, the B8. So this is, to me, growing up, I always saw Audi as a wagon sort of brand because they had the RS6 V8s, the RS6 V10s with the Lamborghini inside it. And this Audi S4 is a bit smaller, is still got a lot of space. You can fold down the rear seats. You got a big boot to fit all of your farming equipment or family members.
Your farming equipment in an Audi.
I would.
What he's trying to say is he can go and buy some durian.
Okay. So this Audi S4, I mainly picked it because there aren't many wagons in Malaysia. And generally, I feel like wagons don't depreciate. I've seen a bunch of 1990s Mercedes wagons, which still cost about 60,000 ringgit. Granted, they're classics. But I saw a 90,000 ringgit BMW 5 Series wagon. Also fantastic car, but the Audi ages it partly because it's got a 3-liter supercharged V6 with 330 horsepower. And it's super unique. You don't see a lot of Audis in Malaysia. You see BMWs everywhere. And
that's true.
Yeah. And on top of that, you get Audi's legendary quattro handling. And if you want a family car, you want four-wheel drive. And I didn't pick an SUV because I don't like SUVs. But the wagon is the next best thing. And I saw one in the market, a red one, for about 89,000 ringgit. I think it's absolutely the best bang for your buck car out there in the market right now.
All right. Okay. Next. Come on. I'm excited now.
My second choice for a luxury sports coupe, a car that I've been dreaming of ever since I first saw it in 2007. BMW 335i. Surprise, surprise.
We're not
BMW,
surprised. We're not surprised.
Nobody's surprised at all. No.
You will be surprised by the price tag because this car has a 3-liter twin-turbo inline six, similar power to the Audi S4 just now, and it costs 60,000 ringgit these days.
Oh.
60,000 ringgit for a 3-liter, 306 horsepower car. And the best thing about this coupe, I guess, is the car is about 13, 14 years old right now. And to me, it hasn't aged a day.
It still looks very modern.
And if you get the right ones, the later model years, like the 09s or the 10s, you get the better iDrive system, you get an updated engine, you get better wheels, you get a lot of new fantastic goodies that are present in new cars these days. So you're not really giving up in terms of tech. Mm. The other best thing about this car, the 335i, if you're a car enthusiast who loves to drive road trips through the back roads, this 335i is known to be probably one of the better handling sports cars amongst all of the Germans. The Mercedes was a bit too soft. The Audi, great in a straight line, but understeers into a bush.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Mm. The other great thing about this car and this engine is that it is ultra moddable. Everybody always talks about the RB26 engines from Nissan. You talk about the two JZs from the Toyotas, which you stick a couple of turbos on there and your power turns from 200 horsepower to about 600-700. This engine is kind of the modern iteration of that. But obviously, you're going to encounter some problems because it's a BMW. This engine is called the N54 engine and is known to have a lot of high-pressure fuel pump issues, which, like I said, we have 100,000 ringgit. This car costs 60,000. You have another 40,000 ringgit to fix all of those problems.
And that is the prime reason you're buying this car.
Yes.
To fix all the problems and give your mechanic some rental money.
You know, support local businesses.
Everybody's hard up in these times, Daniel. Support your local SME, please. Yeah. You know. Number three, then.
Number three is a luxury car. A luxury car which I do see myself driving.
Of course it does.
Yes. And it's a Jag. Are you surprised by that, Richard?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
Except I'd imagine you driving this in about 30 years' time, you know, when your golf handicap has improved a little bit and, you know, you've got plenty more space in the back to fit in your extra clubs. Yeah, this would suit you down to the ground, Jeremy.
The car we're talking about, obviously, is the Jaguar XJL. And it's the one that the British Prime Minister used to use or currently uses. And currently, there's a 5-liter V8 supercharged version, 464 horsepower. 2011 model that's coming in at 110,000 ringgit. That is extremely, you know, that's a fantastic price for a car that's 9 years old and comes with an engine that big. And especially if we're taking maintenance out of the equation, the V8, the 5-liter V8 is very, very, very powerful and is the classic Jag torque monster that we know of.
But you're already 10 grand over budget, right?
You got to spend a bit of money for but passions, that 10, you know?
that 10 grand, you okay.
Yeah.
Give it to him, Richard.
I'll let him have it.
I think to me, the appeal of this Jaguar XJL is literally nobody has one in Malaysia. I mean, you stand out really, really strongly in a sea of S-Classes, 7 Series. Sure, they may be S500s or S550s, but Jaguars, they drive a lot better than any of those cars. Right. And these AJ6 V8s are more reliable than the BMW or Mercedes V8s. So win-win situation for me at the cost of 10 grand more, probably.
Can I just add something? I like what RF has just said. I will probably look at the Jaguar like this if I had the money, but I'll put a little flagpole at the front of the car and I'll put my own flag. I'll create my own flag. And I'll sit in the back with the driver and people will be saying, now I wonder which country he comes from.
Yes.
And they'll never know.
Exactly. Hey,
the final car, I think this final car could be the one that replaces my current car.
Okay.
And it's the 2013 three-door Ford Fiesta ST. This is the car that in 2013 I first saw on the front pages of Top Gear magazine. And it was surrounded by Aston Martin Vanquish, Porsche 911 Turbo, Lamborghini Gallardo. And they were set in this scene somewhere in the UK with all these twisty roads. And I kept thinking to myself, what's this little car with roughly 180 horsepower doing there? And they basically explained that this car will keep up with anything on the B roads. There's currently one on sale for 72,000 ringgit. It's exactly in the famous Ford ST blue color. And it's got these big, huge brakes, big, huge 18-inch wheels in this tiny little package. I would imagine it embodies that sort of like classic Honda Civic Type R sort of feeling there. In terms of specs as well, economical to budget, 1.6 liter turbo with 180 horsepower, manual gearbox, it'll never break. It has the torque vectoring system, which I believe a lot of reviewers went and said, this car would scurry and pull itself through the corners. So it's an super exciting car that I really, really wish I could have right now.
The boys getting all excited in the studio, Daniel.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm so glad I'm not there.
Right?
I can hardly breathe. But yeah, you know, this Ford Fiesta SE will go down, I think, in the future as one of the modern classics that we would probably never, ever see again because everything's turning into automatics or electric motors. So, you know, this is the kind of raw experience that you would want to appreciate a manual car in. and a B-Road. So those are my choices.
So in summation, your top picks are the 2011 Audi S4 wagon.
Yep.
And number two was the 2007 BMW 335i. Number three was the 2011 Jaguar XJ V8 supercharged.
Yep.
And you wrapped up with the 2013 Ford Fiesta ST.
Yeah.
All right. Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Please step up to the plate and tell us what your four choices are.
Okay, I've got a little bit more common sense. I'm not looking at, I'm not looking at anything so extravagant, but there will be one. I'll start with the 2007 Subaru Impreza WRX STI hatchback.
A classic.
Yeah.
This was the only hatchback that Subaru made in terms for the Impreza. And, you know, a lot of people say it was a failure because it was a hatchback. I like hatchbacks, so I actually like this car. I like the way it drives. The price today is just about 80 over 1,000 ringgit. And you get a char that goes from 0 to 100 in less than 5 seconds. You got Subaru build quality. You got Subaru handling. Let's not go any further. Let's just buy it.
Okay? There you go. Yeah, okay.
The next car. This is purely tugging at the heartstrings, you know, something passionate. A Porsche Cayman S, the first ever Cayman S. Now, some will say it's a little bit dumpy looking, it's a little bit this, a little bit that. But end of the day, this car actually, the 3.4-liter engine, has got 300 brake horsepower, similar to the Subaru. But it's such a well-balanced sports car. If you ever get a chance to drive one, even though it's already now more than 10 years old, it drives and it handles beautifully. And new, it was almost 400,000 ringgit. Today, you can buy one for less than 80,000 ringgit.
That's a bargain deal for a Porsche.
And people were surprised because why? Up to a few months ago, it was about 130,000, 140,000. The moment it went past 10 years, bang, the price dropped.
Just out of interest, Daniel, how much maintenance would this, you know, on average cost you perhaps over a year?
Okay, I'm going to surprise you. It's cheaper to maintain than the Subaru.
Wow.
What?
Why is that?
Porsche parts, surprisingly, are not expensive and they last quite a long time. In fact, it's cheaper to maintain any Porsche than to maintain a BMW.
I agree with that. Well,
did I hear something?
No, I don't think you did. Okay. I don't think you did. No.
So, just like Arif, I'm moving across to England right now.
Okay.
Because he picked two cars from England. I'm also picking two cars from England to be on your side, Richard. Now, my third choice, and this is basically, you know, just to show that I've got loads of money because I want a powerful, commanding SUV, but I don't want a Range Rover because Range Rovers are expensive to maintain after a few years. So I go for a Land Rover Discovery 4.
Of course you do.
And the diesel version. So why I've picked this? Because first of all, the diesel versions have dropped in value in Malaysia. Number two, Rotax is not going to be a killer because it's a 2.7 and it's an SUV. It's a proper seven-seater. The third row seat can actually accommodate an adult. I can fit in it.
They're the ones that sit perpendicular or they sit...
opposite one another?
Yeah, opposite one another, side by side to the windows, right?
But in the Discovery 4, they're actually full-size seats. Yeah. You can fold them. Exactly like you said, you can fold them. But when you fold them out, of course, they're very thin, but they're full-size seats, and they're actually quite comfortable. I've sat in them before.
Isn't this the one that the Queen drives around in?
Oh, yes. Yes, you're totally correct in saying that. Now, this vehicle is selling for below 100,000, about 90-odd thousand ringgit.
That is fantastic.
And it's not like you can find one or two. You can find like 10, 15, 20 because there's so many of them for sale because people have seen them now for 10 years and they want to change up, you know? Okay. Now comes my final choice. Now, this one is purely from the heart. There's no common sense.
Hang on a minute. This is also the reason that you allowed Arif to have the extra 10 grand, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. You see, I can read you like a book. Yeah.
Is it a comedy book? Well,
sometimes it is, yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
This is purely money, no object. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care about fuel. I don't care about road tax. I don't care about repair bills. I just want to have this car for 1 year. And I want to go around and just be like one gangster, you know what I mean? Like one real hooligan, because I'm looking at the 2006 Bentley Continental Flying Spur W12 limousine. The closest thing that you will get to having a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
Because the luxury is nearly on par. The look, the commanding presence. I mean, somebody can come across with a brand new Mercedes or BMW costing 700,000, and I'll come across with this car at 108,000 ringgit, and I will get more respect.
I could do you a favor here, Daniel.
Yes, sir.
There's a certain car listing website, which I'm browsing right now, and there's one on there, a 2006 Bentley Continental, a 6-liter Flying Spur sedan.
Right.
For under 100,000 ringgit.
What?
Okay.
So I could save you 8,000 ringgit. You could then use it to drive Richard around.
Okay, so Richard, now I'm gonna correct you. I'm sorry, old chap. I'm gonna correct you because the one that I found on the classifieds comes with 10 months road tax.
Oh wow.
Oh my god.
Okay then.
So if I buy the one that you are showing, probably there's no more road tax on it. Road tax is almost 20,000 ringgit.
Holy smokes.
So if I get the one which I found, I still have 10 months to enjoy it on the road.
Oh, all right. Well, I get slapped into place. Okay,
fine. No worries.
I'll just drive you
around.
I think the best part about a Bentley is...
It's a Bentley.
It's not a Rolls Royce. It's not a Benz. It's not a BMW or a Jag.
Mm.
It's a Bentley. And when you tell people or when you show people that you have a Bentley.
Can you imagine if Arif got his Jaguar XJL, I got myself this Bentley, and then we turned up every Wednesday evening at BFM car park right in front and parked it. Can you imagine how jealous everyone in that building is going to be?
Of course.
And they will not know that we bought it for a smidgen above 100,000 ringgit.
I just love the way we're making that 100,000 ringgit sound as though it's nothing. It's only 100,000 ringgit.
It's nothing. It's the price of a proton.
Oh, my God. We could actually say that now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, Richard, you've heard mine and Daniel's.
Don't put me on the spot like this. I have no idea what I would spend this money
on. No. I'm not going to ask about that. I would say me and Daniel's choices have been very, very excellent.
Yes.
Most excellent.
Yes.
Would you still go out and buy a Civic, seeing that these cars are on sale?
A new one, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's the argument everybody has, right? This 100,000 ringgit price range is sort of the price range where you're moving up a little bit or moving down.
Yeah.
So
this is the situation that you would find yourself in, is right. Your head is telling you to go out and buy a Civic because it's brand new. If anything goes wrong with it, you're going to be covered for however many years Honda are covering it for right now. How many years are they covering them for now, Daniel, just to be on the safe side?
Five years,
right? Or you buy a Bentley. and imagine that you are something, not necessarily that you're not. The question is, though, would you be able to maintain that Bentley for any period of time?
Yeah.
Over 6 months or over a year, realistically?
Well,
you know, because I'm just wondering how much a set of wheels on a Bentley is likely to cost.
Probably 30 grand.
Exactly.
Talking about the Jaguar and the Bentley.
Yeah.
Of course, in my position, I will not be able to afford it, even with the free road tax. Let's take the average person who wants to buy a Proton X70.
Yeah.
And he says, no, I don't know what is going to happen to me. I want to live for 1 year. I want to live like a king. Mm. I want to just be ridiculously mad about this and just live like a king. So he goes out and buys his Bentley for, say, 100,000 ringgit. He gets 10 months road tax on it. He drives it every day, but he doesn't go for car trips. He just goes to his regular restaurant, his regular cafe, visits relatives, visits clients, goes for meetings, arrives in the car, creates a stir for 10 months because he's only got road tax for 10 months.
Mm.
Most of these cars are well maintained.
Probably
he'll just have to spend on servicing, which will cost him maybe $3,000-$4,000. He could still run with the tires because he doesn't need to speed all the way. He can just gradually arrive everywhere. So now after 8 months or 10 months, if he decides to sell it, say he loses 25,000 ringgit on depreciation, add another 5,000 for petrol, added petrol and servicing costs. So he's lost 30,000 ringgit, right?
Yeah.
If you buy a brand new Proton X70 or any other vehicle in that price range, you'll probably lose 30,000 ringgit in the first year.
That is a fantastic point because you look through the classifieds now, you'd find a 2019, 2018 Civic selling for about 85, 80. So
my point is, if you want to go mad for 1 year, go mad.
So these are essentially their bucket list items, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Yeah, if you look at it that way, then yes.
Yeah.
Go out and get your Jag. Go out and get your Bentley. But, you know, if you're in good health,
yeah,
you know, maybe buy something a little bit more practical, perhaps.
Volkswagen X70.
And, you know, after
Volkswagen Vento. Yeah. I don't know.
And after that 1 year is done, get yourself a $50,000 brand new car with 5-year warranty and just be happy with all the Instagram and Facebook pictures that you've posted over the last 10 months.
Absolutely.
You know what? That actually sounds like a great plan.
Yes.
Right. Let's split the costs. It's about 33 grand each. Right?
Yeah.
We can do this. Yeah. Daniel, are you in?
I'm in.
All right, let's do it. Right. That, of course, brings us to a close of Cruise Control for this week. Don't forget, tomorrow, though, 11 a.m., Daniel will be hosting his DSF Car of the Year Awards in July, of course. There will be 17 winners in 30 minutes, he promises.
Yes.
I can't wait for that to happen. On Facebook Live, of course. That's happening tomorrow. And if you did miss any part of this show, don't forget the podcast will be up very shortly. You can download it from wherever you listen to your podcast from, whether or not it's from the Apple App Store, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever it is. Have a listen to us. And we'll be back same time, same place next week for Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.